I want to begin in 2 Corinthians 13. You know, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means there is one God, and yet he reveals himself in three persons, three distinct persons. It's one God. It's a mystery. People try to understand that, and it kind of blows their mind, and it probably at some level you'll never completely understand it, but it's really the only way to explain what we see in the Scripture, that there is one God, and yet he reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And sometimes people have confusion about, you know, which one am I dealing with? Who should I pray to? Which one lives inside of me? And again, you can find a lot of scriptures that might add to your confusion, you know, depending on how you see them. But I wanted to show you here today that there's a scripture here about the Trinity, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. But it describes three different interactions that God has with us. And it says, one, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's grace from Jesus Christ. Jesus came with full of grace and truth. We are saved by grace through faith. So grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And he says the love of God. Does that mean that Jesus doesn't love us? No, Jesus loves us. But the love of God is the one element he wants to bring forward and say, hey, As I'm closing this letter, he's kind of writing a closing of a letter. I want you to remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the love of the Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So there's this interaction with the Father that's about love. It's about being part of a family. It's about being embraced by him as a child, as a son or a daughter of God. And even giving up his own son on the cross to make that possible. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. And then he says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I wonder, how many of us are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is what he's talking about here. We like to fellowship with one another. We say, hey, come over to our house tonight, we'll fellowship. And that's all good, and that's part of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, that we share our lives together, we participate with one another. There is a fellowship between us as God's people, but there's also a fellowship that God wants us to have with his Holy Spirit. So the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you today about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I want to focus in on that part of it. And the word fellowship means a partnership. A partnership. It also is translated as a participation. In other words, the Lord wants to participate with us, and he wants us to participate with him. When you read through the book of Acts, or just the Bible, you see the Holy Spirit is very much involved in working in the world. He was there at the very beginning in Genesis 1 when the Lord created everything. It says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Now, he was there in the beginning. And he has worked all through the ages of mankind. He has worked, he has moved upon men to prophesy. He has baptized people in his Holy Spirit. He has empowered them to preach the gospel. He has used us to pray and to see people healed. There's this many, many ways the Holy Spirit has been active in this world. But he wants to participate with us. You know, in a sense, God, I mean, there are times I think that you see in the Bible where God moved and acted unilaterally. He just said, you know what, I'm just going to do something. But many times, he does it in partnership. with people. And it's amazing if you think about that. I mean, when the Lord split the Red Sea, we always talk about the Lord splitting the Red Sea, but he told Moses, stretch out your staff. That doesn't mean that Moses had this great power, but he was cooperating with God. It's like the Lord spoke something and Moses heard it and he obeyed. And in the midst of that, this Red Sea split in half. So there was this participation, this fellowship, this interaction between the Holy Spirit and us, people. And I want to pray this morning that maybe in our lives we would begin to hone in on this partnership that the Holy Spirit wants to have with each of us. Jesus called him another helper in John 14:17. I'm just going to kind of skim through some scriptures today. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with any of them. But he called the Holy Spirit another helper. It's also translated as a comforter. Jesus was telling his disciples this because he was saying, I'm going to leave. And they were a little bit nervous about that. I mean, they were looking to Jesus as their anchor for so long. And now he's saying, you know, it's time for me to leave. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another helper, someone just like me, and he will live with you forever. That's fellowship. You have living inside of you the Holy Spirit, who is another helper like Jesus. Can you imagine that? I mean, in a certain sense, people say, boy, I wish I had been on the earth when Jesus was walking. I would have loved to have walked with him. In a certain sense, you are, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Wouldn't you love to walk with Jesus and hear him say something like, you want to pay your taxes? Go down there and fish and pull the first fish out of the water. Reach inside and grab that coin and go pay your taxes. Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus say that? How about this year? Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus say, I would like you to feed the 5,000. But we only have a few loaves and a few fish. That's enough. Bring it here. Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus say that? Well, in a sense, through his Holy Spirit, he can have that same sort of intimate discussion with you. I think sometimes what happens with us is we are asking the Holy Spirit maybe for things that maybe he's not involved with. Like, Lord, what color should my hair be? And maybe he cares about that, I don't know. But when you go through the scripture, you see the Lord is involved in the salvation of man. And the Holy Spirit was given that we may have the power to be a witness. And I see over and over and over and over again that the Holy Spirit's participation and involvement and fellowship with us as people is really centered around his mission more than anything. And if we want to learn to hear the voice of the Lord, there needs to be an initiative or some sort of a bent in our lives to say, Lord, I want to see your kingdom extend. I want to see people come to a relationship with you. I want to see the kingdom of God expanded in this world by praying for the sick or whatever it is he's calling you to do at the time. But that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And a lot of times I think we're trying to call him into our agenda when he's calling us into his agenda. And he's wanting us to hear. So he's another helper. He says, in John 14:26, that he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Isn't that amazing? That living inside of you is the Holy Spirit, who is not only a helper, not only a comforter, but a teacher. And he teaches you and reminds you of the things of Jesus. Another place it says, he will show you things to come. Think about that. It's not just reminding us of what Jesus said, but he's even saying that I'll show you things that will come to pass in the future. That's pretty amazing. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. And Jesus also said in Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so I want to focus now on some of the elements of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What's it look like? How do we step into it? Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What is this talking about? Well, I think he's saying here is the Holy Spirit is actually doing stuff. He wants us to keep in step with him. We live in the Spirit. I mean, you're born again. You have new life through the Holy Spirit, but stay in sync with him. Keep in step with him. In other words, Lord, what is it you're doing today, and how do you want to use me? How do you want to participate? How can I fellowship with you today, or how can you fellowship with me? I'm just convinced that every day, the Holy Spirit is about something, doing something in someone's life. And who knows if maybe you are the person that he will speak to you and say, Ruth, go say such and such to this person over here. You don't know. You don't see it all the time. You're invisible most of the time to all the things that God is doing. I can look at this group of people here and say, I know the Holy Spirit is dealing with different ones about different things. I don't have a clue what that is. And we can just walk through our neighborhood here, and I can assume that the Holy Spirit is doing something here and there and over here and in this person's life. And maybe he wants to use you just like he used Philip and say, Kirk, go join yourself to this person and talk to them. But I want to be able to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to be in step with him, to be in sync with what he's doing, rather than just running my agenda through my life. The filling of the Spirit is also something that is you see it as a recurring event in the life of the Apostle Peter and others. But I'm speaking about Peter right now. You know, sometimes we hear the term, have you been filled with the Spirit? And we mean, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And, you know, do you speak in tongues? That's kind of what we mean when we say, are you filled with the Spirit? And we find that in Acts 2:4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. But then in Acts 4:8, it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, I thought he was filled with the Spirit in Acts 2. Well, he was. But there was another filling here, another empowering, another stirring up, another, I don't know, rising up of the Spirit of God to do something. And in this case, Peter was speaking to those who were trying to stop them from preaching. And the Spirit of God moved upon him in such a way, the Bible calls that he was filled with the Holy Spirit again. I looked up this word filled, and there was a place where it talked about when Jesus was on the cross, and it says they filled a sponge with the vinegar to put up to him. And I thought about maybe the filling that comes in our life is maybe like a sponge, that we have a filling, and then maybe if you take a sponge and you put it down in water, it's full. But if you just let it hang there for a while, you know, over time, it's not full anymore. And maybe there's another time you need to be filled again, or filled again, or filled again. And I can't imagine that there's probably many of us in our walk with the Lord that we have been filled, or maybe even subsequent times filled with the Spirit, but then something is lost, something dies out, and we haven't been stirred up again. And there's a need to be refreshed and say, Lord, fill me again, fill me afresh, fill me, Lord, with your Spirit. And then in Acts 4:31, when they came back to the church and they began to pray, they were praying together. They were saying, Lord, look at their threatenings. They're trying to stop us from preaching the gospel. It says when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all there again, filled with the Holy Spirit. So, yes, it happened at Pentecost, but it happened again. Acts 4:31, it happened again. Peter was there. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. A couple of things I want to mention about Acts 4:31 is they were doing things to put themselves in a position to be filled. When they were being threatened, they said, we need to come and pray. Let's pray. We need something from God. We need something that's outside of us. Maybe we're fearful. Maybe we're discouraged. Who knows what was going on inside their heart, but they realized we need to come and pray. And it's neat to me that how the Lord answered was to fill them with the Spirit. Give us boldness, Lord. I will fill you with my Spirit. I'm going to give you the fellowship of my Spirit. How many of you know when you're full of the Spirit, boldness is just there? You know, it's not something you got to go looking for. So he filled them with the Spirit. So the question is, are you praying? When you face these struggles in your life, when you face obstacles of any kind, are you coming to the Lord and praying and saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit? And again, this was an effort to stop God's work, not what color should I dye my hair. They were involved in the work of the kingdom, and the Lord filled them. Here's some other scriptures. Acts 8:29. Are these going up okay? Yeah, okay. The Spirit said to Philip. What does this mean? It's not that he just got a good idea. It's not that he was walking around one day and thought, you know what, I should go down to the desert. No, the Spirit said this to him. This is fellowship. This is partnership. Here's what's happening. Philip is in Samaria. There's actually a great move of God going on. People are getting saved and healed and delivered. And in the midst of that, in the midst of this great work and move of God, the Spirit said to him, go down to the desert. So I look at a couple things here. One is the Holy Spirit can both walk and chew gum. You know, he's over here and he's over here. He's working here and there. And the Holy Spirit wanted to do something with this eunuch in partnership with another human being. And so he calls a man who heard and who obeyed. That's all it takes, is hearing and obeying. And as Philip went down there, how many of you would love to get up in church on a Sunday morning and say, I got a testimony. I was over at my barbecue, and as I was there, the Lord said, go two blocks over. There's a house down there on the corner. The number is 431. There's a guy in the backyard ready to commit suicide. And you say, yes, Lord. And you go, and the guy gets saved. Would that be possible? Sure, it's possible, because the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks. He's looking for people who expect that, who anticipate that, and who are open to hear him and then respond. This is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, verse 19, while Peter was pondering the vision. You know, in verse 9 of that chapter, Peter went up to the housetop to pray. He was praying. Again, these people are putting themselves in a position to hear from the Lord. And Peter was praying, and while he had this vision from the Lord, but while he had this vision, he was pondering it, it says the Spirit said to him. Again, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter. Behold, three men are looking for you. And you know what happened here? Peter went. He went over to see Cornelius. And there was a man over there that God was already working in. God was already dealing with this person. Peter didn't even know him. He was even a Gentile, the one that Peter shouldn't even have any interaction with. And yet the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spoke to him and said, Peter, three men are coming to see you. Go with them. I've sent them. Everything's great. Peter went, had no idea why he was going. It just, he had faith. He had confidence. He heard from the Holy Spirit, and he obeyed. He went over to Cornelius' house, and you know the rest of the story. He's standing there just sharing about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard his word. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And Peter said, look, these people have received the same gift of us as us. Let's baptize them. So they baptized them. And that was the first introduction of the church into the Gentile world. Isn't that amazing? But it was the Spirit who spoke. The Spirit spoke to Peter. In Acts 11:28, one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit. Remember it said the Holy Spirit would show us things to come. And here is this man named Agabus. God spoke to him through his Holy Spirit and said there was going to be a famine. And so the church was able to collect money and provide for this time of famine. And it says it actually took place in the days of Claudius. In Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, there's again another one of those disciplines we can do as people to prepare our hearts. They were worshiping and fasting. It says, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So there again, you see this idea that the Holy Spirit has something he's wanting to do over here, something he wants to do in the lives of other people, but he wants to do it in partnership with somebody. And so he says, set Paul and Barnabas aside for this work over here. It's a work to which I have called them. So there were people again who were preparing their hearts, setting their hearts before the Lord. They were able to hear him. And when he spoke, they obeyed. And look at all the amazing stories. You read the book of Acts from Acts 13 on, and you see all the amazing things that happened through the life of the Apostle Paul. In a sense, it had its beginning here as far as launching him into his missionary work. It began here as they were worshiping and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said. In Acts 21:11. Acts 16:6. As they were going through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I like this idea that as they were involved in doing God's work, the Holy Spirit was still guiding them. He stopped them from going here. He stopped them from going there. He was still speaking. It wasn't just one thing, hey, set apart Paul and Barnabas, and then they were on their own. They were still being guided by the Holy Spirit along the way. The Holy Spirit wants to have fellowship with you. In Acts 21:11, Agabus says, thus says the Holy Spirit. This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt. And again, we see a future, a revelation that came from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it does come through prophecy or prophets. The Holy Spirit will speak to us in a predictive way. And that's part of the way he speaks. Another way he speaks is through the Bible. In Acts 28, verse 25, it says, Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. He considered the Bible, the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit speaking. And so when he opens up this book and the pages of Scripture and begins to read it, he says, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So remember last week I was sharing with you about how to study the Bible, and I was talking about what are the things that you would share with a new believer if you had 30 days with them. And one of them was teach them how to study the Word of God. Teach them how to hear from the Word of God. Another thing is to teach them how to hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have, like, if you do this, this, and this, and this, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I just have this sense that he's always speaking, always wants to speak, always wants to be in fellowship with you. It's really a matter of us learning to hear, putting ourselves into a position where we can hear, settling our hearts. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't take the time to hear. We don't take time to listen. And then beyond that, there is this responsive, obedient heart. If the Lord said to Philip, go down to the desert and join yourself to this chariot, what if he didn't go? And I think that's another step that we have to take along the way, is actually to not only hear what he's saying, but say, yes, Lord, and go. And sometimes not even knowing what the outcome would be, like when he spoke to Peter and said, go to Cornelius' house. It was an unknown. It was just being obedient. It was learning to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. He speaks to me. He wants to use me. So I'm in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In John 3, verse 2, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I mean, he was looking at the signs of Jesus Christ, the miracles, signs that he looked at that and he said, this is evidence to us that God is with you. Something different about you. You are, in a sense, in fellowship with God. We see this. We see the things you're doing, and we know that God is with you. And then Jesus then began to have this conversation with him about, you must be born again. You know, to have this experience with God that you see in me, it's based upon a relationship. You must be born again. If you are not born again, he says, you will never see the kingdom of God. You will never enter the kingdom of God. When you think of the kingdom of God, don't think of it as just this future thing down the road. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God being here. He said, when you go preach, the kingdom of heaven has come to you. He said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, know the kingdom of God has come to you. If people reject the preaching of the gospel, he says, kick the dust off of your feet, but tell them, surely the kingdom of God was here. So when he says, enter the kingdom of God, I think he's not only saying you will have the kingdom of God in the future, but he's saying, even now, to enter into this work of the kingdom, you must be born again. And I think he's inviting him into this fellowship when he talks about being born again. And he ends his conversation with him this way. He says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I love that verse. I mean, we go out here, we hear the wind, we don't know where'd that come from. You know, where's it coming from? You can't see it. All you can see is the effect of it. You hear it. You can see it blow the wind, the leaves on a tree, maybe knock a tree over, knock some shingles off a house. I mean, you see the wind, but there's a certain mystery about it. I don't see it. Where did it come from? And he's saying to be born again is something like that. There's something that happens in your life as a Christian, born of the Spirit, that if you can hear him, and do, just like Jesus was doing, I only do what the Father tells me. I only say what the Father tells me. There is this mysterious element that begins to happen. I mean, don't you think it must have been mysterious when Philip was down in Samaria and they were having such a great revival and he walks over to the other brothers and says, hey guys, I know there's a lot going on here, but the Lord just spoke to me to go down to the desert. Well, what are you going to do over there? I don't know. He just said, go. I'm thinking that maybe came across as a weird element. I don't know for sure. But he went. He was being driven by the wind, the breath of the Spirit, the voice of God. He heard him and he responded. And look how the Holy Spirit moved in that situation. It was a beautiful story. And so I want to see this type of thing happen in my life. And in all of our lives. To be born of the Spirit, to be driven by the wind. You know the word wind and breath and spirit are all the same in the Greek language? A rushing mighty wind, a breath, a wind, it's spirit. To be driven by the wind, a little bit of a mystery. I just have a little testimony to kind of give you an example. You know, last year around, I don't know, October, or no, around, yeah, maybe October last year. I forget when it was. Sometime last fall, I was challenged by some people to begin to do more listening prayer. Not just praying, but listening. So I began to do that, and I would just, I would spend more time. I would just kind of put on some nondescript music and just listen. Say, Lord, I'm here. I just want to, you know, quiet my soul, quiet my mind, and I want to listen. And there were many things the Lord spoke to me. Some things in my own life, some things that He wanted me to do. But I was just putting myself in this place of just hearing, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear Your voice. I want You to direct my life. I always have an agenda. I always have a to-do. I always have things I need to be doing. But what is it that You want? And as I began to do that, I saw the Lord begin to work in different ways. And one of the things I wanted to mention to you, just because there was the fruit of it this past week, was I was praying that God would help me find receptive people, people who were open to the gospel. And that day, I was driving up the road over here in Alliance. I was driving up the road, and some of you know that we've been reaching out into the Latino community. And as I was driving up the road, I saw a young lady walking over here with her daughter. And I just like, I'm going to go over there and talk to them. I just kind of felt constrained to do this. And I drive over, and I pull up, and I go introduce myself. The lady doesn't speak any English. I don't speak any Spanish, so I'm pulling my phone out trying to communicate. And she's getting a bus, so I know my time is limited. So I had a very quick conversation with her and asked her if she would like to go to a church. And she said, well, I don't speak English. And I said, well, this is a Spanish church. And she said, yeah, I'll go. And we never heard from her until that Sunday afternoon. And she called us and said, hey, can you pick me up for church? And we took her. And she began to come. And through that, I met her husband. I met her brother. And her brother got saved, I would say, 2 months ago. And her husband has given his heart to the Lord as well. And then they're beginning to reach out to some other Latino friends and family that work in Jalisco, where one of these guys work. They're beginning to have a heart for evangelism themselves. And then this past week, on Monday, seven of those people got baptized here. So I'm not saying that as a boastful thing. I'm just saying, look, you know, I was just praying to say, Lord, lead me to receptive people. Lead me to receptive people. It took time. We're talking about from last September, October, until today. That's a long time. But it was building a relationship, loving, caring, teaching, discipleship all along the way. And now they're ready to go and start doing the same with others. But it is learning to hear the Lord and respond and invest the time. The Lord is working. He's working in the lives of people all over our city. You know, Caitlin, you've been reaching out. You've had a desire to reach out to the college, and the young girl you've been talking to gave her heart to the Lord. A girl from Japan, never really heard about Jesus before. Maybe she did when she was a younger girl. I can't remember the story. And I know all of us have stories like this. But I'd like you to stand with me as we pray.